السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini, Islamic Studies class. I'm sorry, Quranic Studies class. And we're today going to learn about the wisdom of Allah. We're learning about the name of Allah Al-Hakim. The name of Allah Al-Hakim. And it's about the wisdom, the name the most wise, and it's the wisdom of not being able to see Allah, the unseen world and miracles. What, why? People say, okay, why the world of the unseen is unseen? Why doesn't just Allah show us everything? Show us Jannah, hell, death, life before, after death, or life after death, and life that's after death. And why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us everything, the angels, the jinn, and everything, angel, and then we can just believe? At that point, there's not going to be a belief, by the way. It's going to be know, to know. There is a difference between to know and to believe. If everything's seen and known, then it's known. It's to know, it's not to believe. But regardless of this, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just show us everything? Instead of people being atheists, instead of people following different traditions and different religions, why doesn't Allah just show us everything? Why can't we see Allah? Let's say, why can't we just see Allah and we believe, and then we will know that there is Allah, and we will know what to do then? First of all, we will not have a free will. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we can see Allah, the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let us see him and disobey him at the same time. I'll give you an example of a police officer. If you are driving your car and there is a police officer, and this police officer is right behind you, you're driving and the police officer is following you. You can see him in the mirror. So what you do, you slow down, make sure you don't exceed the maximum speed, and you make sure you stop at every red light, and at every stop sign, you stop, count one, two, three, and then go. And you make sure you're using all your signals and everything is fine. Why? Because you can see the police behind you and you don't want to get a ticket. Now, this is just for a police officer following you. What do you think about if you can see Allah? Would you be able to disobey him? You will be so, the glory of Allah and the magnificence of Allah will not, you will not be able to disobey him when you can see him. You can't. It's really impossible. And then you will not have a free will. You will not have a free will then. And we will not be tested because there is no free will. So we're tested of what? Okay. So that's why can't we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what happened? There's another reason we can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the story of Prophet Musa. What happened to Prophet Musa? Okay, you see here? What happened to Prophet Musa when he asked to see Allah, when he asked Allah to show himself to him? Look what happened.
When Musa came at our appointed time and his Lord spoke to him, he said, "My Lord, show yourself to me that I may look at you." He said, "You shall never see me, but look at the mount. If it stays at its place, you will see me." So when his Lord appeared to the mount, he made it smashed, and Musa fell down unconscious. When he recovered, he said, "Pure are you. I repent to you, and I am the first to believe that no one can see you in this world." He said, "Musa, I have chosen you above all men for my messages and for my speaking to you. So, take what I have given to you, and be among the grateful."
He when Allah showed himself to the mountain crushed, crumbled into dust. And Musa was shocked. He passed out. And because he passed out, after he woke up and he became conscious again, and he apologized, he asked for Allah's forgiveness. He said, Allah, forgive me, because we are physically unable to see Allah with this, our physical existence right now. Our physical existence will change in the day of judgment and the life to come. Our physical existence will change so that we can handle, we can be able to see Allah. We'll be able to see the angels, we'll be able to see the jinn, shaitans, jannah, hellfire. So all these will change. But in this life, we don't have the tools to be able to see that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wearing a hijab of light that blocks his light. Because if Allah is not wearing this hijab of light, then the light of his face is going to burn the entire existence. His light will burn the entire existence. So Allah is veiling himself, is covering himself with a veil of light to protect his creation from his light so that this creation can survive. Okay? Because if this hijab or this curtain or cover is lifted, everything would burn in the universe. So just imagine the magnificence and the nature of Allah. You will not be able to see Allah in this and in this life. And that's why when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken by Angel Jibreel up to heavens to see Allah, he was asked, Abu Dharr, his companion, asked, did Prophet Muhammad, did you see Allah? He said, how can I see him? It was light everywhere. Everywhere was a light. I can't see him. This was light everywhere. So he can't see it. So, not being able to see the world of the unseen becomes an issue of to believe now, not to know. To believe. And therefore, there is a test here. We wanted to be free, and Allah created us to be free. In order to be free and to have free for choice, Allah needs to not to be visible to us. Otherwise, where is the test? You know, if we can see the even easier than that, simpler than that, if we can hear the screams of the people who are being punched in their graves, okay, we will not be able to have any kind of good life. You know, in the middle of nowhere, you see you hear a scream, if somebody's being punished in the grave, you're going to be shocked like that. You're going to be shocked, and then you're going to start, you know, getting scared, and you will not be able to do what you're doing. Right now, if we are doing this class and we hear a scream of a person who's being punished in the grave, we will be terrified. You and me would be terrified. I wouldn't be able to teach you, and you'll never be able to learn anything. It's so shocking that it will disturb our life. In order for our life to remain the way it is, okay, we must not be able to hear the screams of the people being punished in the graves, not or the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would be so shocked that our life is not going to be possible. Okay? So it's a test from Allah. And it's a mercy from Allah too. Mercy. So we can have a life. If we, otherwise we won't be able to have a life. Now, just imagine somebody wants to drink a wine, and wine is haram in Islam. And this person holds the cup, and now this person, okay, is going to drink the wine. And by the time the cup goes up, he hears a scream of a person who screams in his grave for being punished. He would just throw the cup and say, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you that this person will not be able to drink the wine if he can hear a punishment from the other side of the world, from the other sides, from the people in the graves. If you can hear a scream of one of them, won't be able to have free will, won't be able to disobey Allah, will always be shocked. Okay. And why can't we see Jannah or hell? Let's see what happened when angel Jibreel, when Allah created Jannah and hell. He said what to Jibreel? When Allah created Jannah, he told to Jibreel, go take a look. So Jibreel went, he looked at it, he came back, he was really thrilled. And he said, Ya Allah, I can't believe anybody will hear about this Jannah without him or her working so hard or having a strong desire to go to Jannah. So Allah said, okay, I am surrounding it with work, with efforts. I'm surrounding Jannah with efforts and hard work, like prayers, fasting, obligations, etc. I am surrounding Jannah with obligations. You have to do this, you have to do that. So Jibreel looked at these obligations and he said, Ya Allah, I don't think anybody would be able to make it to Jannah with all of these obligations. And then when Allah created this hellfire, he sent Jibreel and he said, go take a look. So Jibreel went and he came back. He saw frightening things. He came back and said, Ya Allah, I don't think anybody would hear about this Jannah, about this hellfire, without being so scared that he or she will avoid it. People will be so afraid of hellfire and they will make sure they avoid it. So Allah said, but I'm surrounding hellfire with temptations, with lusts, with selfishness, greed, ego, arrogance, etc. All these evil temptations and lower desires and being overly attracted to the pleasures of this life. And so Angel Jibreel looked at this and he said, Ya Allah, I'm afraid that no one would be able to skip hell, because no one would be able to skip it because of all of these attractions and desires and lusts that are surrounding the hellfire. It attracts you. When they attract you, you fall in hell because of these. Now, seeing miracle is not a good idea. Why? Because when we see miracles, we will be held accountable to a different scale, to higher standards from the ones that did not see the miracle. The ones who did not see the miracle will be given the benefits of the doubt. Okay? The judgment, the accountability, and the standards to judge those people who didn't see miracles are totally different than the ones who get to see miracles. Once you see a miracle and you make a mistake, then you're doomed. For example, the people of the dining table. People on the dining table were the followers of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. They asked Prophet Isa for a dining table from heaven. And then the first thing Prophet Isa said, fear Allah, You don't know what you're asking for. Fear Allah. You don't know what you're asking for. So they kept arguing and saying, we wish to eat from it and our hearts be satisfied and da, 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 da. And we become witness and becomes a celebration, you know, all of this. So Isa, in response to their arguments, he said, Ya Allah, give us a table, dining table from Jannah. Okay. And Ya Allah, send it to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, told him, okay, I will send it, but what's the condition here? The condition is that if anyone among you commits an act of disbelief or an act that shows disbelief in me, then this person will get a punishment, the worst kind of punishment anybody else would give, will get in hell. Okay? That's the condition. You see the miracle, you're held to a totally standard, to totally different standards, much higher standards than if you didn't see the miracle. Okay? Because you have taken advantage, you're given an advantage over others. You're like seeing a miracle. So not being able to see a miracle is mercy from Allah, is a mercy from Allah. Otherwise, we will be required to be at a standard that only prophets can live up to, this standard. That's why prophets get to see miracles and get to communicate with Allah. Okay, because they are able to live to a much higher standard than us. We can't be that good. We can't live up to this higher standard when we get to see a miracle. And what happened is those people started cheating. Allah said, I'm going to send you a dining table, but it's eat all. It's like a buffet restaurant. Eat all what you can eat, but don't take anything out. So Allah said, okay, I'm sending you a dining table, but you eat, you don't take anything. You don't take any food. You don't store anything. And it will come every day. So trust me, Allah's telling them, trust, or the Prophet Isa is telling them, trust Allah is going to send it every day. So don't store, just eat and don't store. That's the condition. So what happened is that at the beginning, they ate and they did not store. But what happened is that shaitan, I can see the shaitan tricking them. Maybe by telling them, okay, remember guys, when one of us committed sins, God punished all of us by holding the rain because of this one person mistake. So imagine that someone is going to make a mistake and Allah is going to hold the dining table. So make sure you store some food, okay, so just in case Allah stops sending the dining table. So Allah said, trust me, I'll send it. Shaitan tells them, no, he might not send it every day. So they started storing. Once they started storing, the dining table stopped coming, and they were doomed to the worst place in hell. It's the seventh layer of hell that has the tyrants, that has the Pharaoh-like rulers, and have hypocrites, and will have the people of the dining table. Those three categories are receiving the worst punishment, which is the seventh layer of hell. It's the hell goes down. So the seventh layer is going to be the deepest layer in hell. Okay? And that's what they brought to themselves by asking for a dining table. Now, what happened to the people of Thamud? The people of Thamud, they requested, from Prophet Saleh, they requested a she-camel. They requested a miracle. They said, can your Lord bring us a she-camel from this mountain? So he prayed to Allah to bring them the miracle. Okay? And then when they saw the miracle, they could not keep up. They were intimidated by this miracle. Allah sent them a camel, and the conditions were, just like the dining table, the conditions were not store food. The conditions for sending the she-camel was never touch the she-camel. Don't kill or harm the she-camel. She will drink all your water on one day and give milk to everybody on the second day. So one day she's drinking the whole water of the reservoir, whatever source of water you have. The second day she's going to give you milk for the entire city. Okay? So he said, don't kill the she-camel. Under no circumstances you try to kill the she-camel. But what happened is that they were intimidated by it, and they were thinking that people are following Prophet Saleh. Okay? And because of that, they conspired with each other, and then they killed the she-camel. And because of that, once they killed the she-camel, Prophet Saleh said, in 3 days, you would be destroyed. Day one, day two, day three, they were all destroyed, the people of Thamud. Okay? So they have committed the act. They have committed the act of disobedience of Allah. And they have did not live up to the standard, to meet the standard. They couldn't meet the standards required for a person who, or for people who see miracles. So they were destroyed. If the she-camel didn't come, they wouldn't be destroyed. But because the she-camel came, they are destroyed. And usually, when the prophet of a nation gives up on his nation, when he would give up on his nation, Allah would punish, destroy this nation. Because the prophet in himself is kind of a miracle. And when people don't believe in a prophet, then most likely Allah would destroy the people who did not respond to their prophet. Okay. The people who are asking for miracles, really, at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, the Arab lords that were fighting him and giving him a hard time, they were not sincere. They were not sincere at all. They used to do that just to give the Prophet a hard time or to mock the Prophet. So they were asking the Prophet in Surah Al-Isra. Look what they are asking the Prophet for.
They said, we shall never believe in you unless you cause a spring to gush forth for us from the earth, or you have a garden of date palms and grapes, then you bring forth rivers from their midst in abundance, or you cause the sky to fall upon us in pieces, as you claimed, or you bring Allah and angels before us face to face, or you have a house made of gold, or you ascend to the sky, and we will not believe in your ascension unless you send down to us a book we may read. Say, I proclaim the purity of my Lord. I am nothing but human, a messenger.
See, our prophet at the end, he said, Subhanallah, I'm just a prophet, I'm just a man, a messenger. Are messengers expected to come up with these things? Can you ask? I'm just a human. Are humans expected to be able to bring these things? I'm just a human prophet, a human messenger, a human messenger. Would humans expected? Are humans expected to come up with all these things that you've requested? So they were just mocking him. They really didn't, even if he brought them these miracles, they wouldn't believe. In Surah Al-Furqan, they also were giving we're giving the prophet hard time by saying, they know how come he's a normal person.
They said, what sort of messenger is this who eats food and walks in the markets? Why is it that an angel has not been sent down to him who would have been a warner along with him, or a treasure should have been thrown down to him, or he should have a garden to eat from it? And the transgressors said, to the believers, you are following none but a bewitched man.
See? And in Surah Al-Furqan, they made a very arrogant request, which was,
said those who do not even expect to meet us, why the angels are not sent down to us, or why do we not see our Lord? Indeed, they think too highly of themselves, and have gone too far in rebellion. The day they will see the angels, there will be no good news for the sinners that day, and they will say, we need a shelter, fully protected.
Yeah, here what's happening is that they are so arrogant. They are so arrogant. They are very arrogant to the level that they wanted Allah and the angels to come down and show themselves to us so that we can believe. They have reached to such a level of arrogance that they wanted Allah to come to them and his angels to come to them in person or send them a letter. In another verse, they were asking a letter from Allah to XYZ person, believe in my messenger. So Allah said, fine, you want to see angels? You will see angels. Of course, Allah is referring here to the day of judgment, or the once the person dies, he gets to see angels. So Allah saying, you want to see angels? You will get to see the angels, but it's going to be a terrible day for you. It's going to be a real bad day for you when you get to see the angels, because it's the day of judging you. The problems we are suffering today is not because of lack of miracles, lack of prophets, or lack of Quran. It is lack of interest. It is the problems are resulting from people not interested into taking Islam seriously. That's the problem. It's not that we're short of miracles, or short of messengers, or short of Qurans, or short of text scriptures. No, we have everything that we need. But it's lack of interest that we're not interested in taking our religion seriously. That's the problem. Okay. Prophet Musa, Allah gave Prophet Musa 9 miracles to show the Pharaoh. 9 miracles. And the Pharaoh did not believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent. The first one is the springs gushing out of a water. Springs gushing out of a water. The second one is that Allah split the sea to dry roads where the children of Israel can run away and escape the Pharaoh and his army that were following them, chasing after them. And then when they crossed the other side, Allah closed the ocean, or closed the Red Sea again, so that they got, all the Pharaoh and his soldiers got drowned. And the stick turning into a snake. Famine and drought and famine, the flood, the river Nile floods, and flood destroyed their land and their crops, and the locusts and lice, they could not stop scratching, and they could not stop the locusts from eating their fruits, their crops. Frogs, they will find frogs everywhere. Zillions of frogs appeared from nowhere. started scrolling and invading their areas of living, space of living. The water coming from the river. Blood, the entire water changed into blood. So there's no water, everything's blood. Sticking his hand out from, after putting his hand under his arm and sticking it out, it's become shiny bright. So that's the miracle of the hand. These are 9 miracles. And what happened to, do you think these 9 miracles helped them? No. What they used to do, every time they get one of these miracles, punishments. So they say, every time they get a miracle, they say, oh Musa, pray to your Lord to lift the miracle and we will believe into you and let the birth children of Israel free to go with you and free the children of Israel to leave. Because the main dispute between the Pharaoh and the Prophet Musa, that he wanted the children of Israel to be released, okay, to let them go. He wanted the Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go because they were being slaved and mistreated really bad. So every time he shows them this miracle, what happens? They say, pray to your Lord to take away this miracle from us, to take away this punishment from us, and we will believe into you. So when he prays to Allah to remove the miracle, they come back and they say, no, you're a witch and we're not going to believe in you. Then Allah will send the next punishment. And then they will, after suffering, they go and ask Prophet Musa, pray to your Lord to relieve the suffering and we will believe into you and let the children of Israel go, free to go. Then when Prophet Musa prays to Allah and Allah lifts the punishment, they go back to their old, they go back and say, we lied to you, we're not, you're a witch and we're not going to believe into you. And it keeps after every single one of these miracles, of these not miracles, punishments, every single one of these punishments, they get it. They got the drought, the famine, they got the flood, they got the locust and lice, they got the frogs, they got the blood, okay? They got all of these punishments one after another, and they do the same exact thing every time. Ask your Lord to lift the punishment. Allah lifts the punishment. Then they go back to their old, they go back and say, we'll not, you're a witch. You're not going to, we will not get, will not let the children of Israel free to go with you. And we know the story when Allah, when they ran away from Egypt and the Pharaoh followed them, Allah parted the sea for them. For the children of Israel, they left and they arrived to the other side. And then Allah closed the Red Sea again so that Pharaoh and his soldiers drowned. Now, seeing all these miracles, what happened to the children of Israel after seeing all these miracles? What happened to them is that when they worshipped the calf, the golden calf, when they worship this golden calf, their punishment wasn't, their punishment was severe. The ones who worshiped who did not worship the calf were required to kill the ones who worshiped the calf. Because for Allah to accept the repentance of the ones who worshiped the calf, they had to kill themselves. They have to be killed by the ones who did not worship the calf. why is this? Because they have seen all these miracles. They have seen all these miracles. They are not held to the same standards like everybody else at all. We are talking about a different category, a different set of standards when you get to see a miracle. The whatever applies to you and me, we didn't get to see miracles. So we were held at a different standard, you know, lower standards, sort of lower standards, or like a lot of our mistakes are forgiven because of the benefits of not being able to see, or we might call it the benefit of the doubt, that we're free, we have more freedom to do wrong, in other words, and we can get away with wrong things because we did not see miracles, because we're not seeing Allah, because we're not seeing the angels, okay? But for someone who's able to do any, to get any of all of these things, there is no room of tolerance anymore. The tolerance rate level, the tolerance level is down, is high. I'm sorry, is very low for the people who have seen miracles. So ask Allah. It said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray and thank Allah that he did not show you miracles. Because once the miracle is seen, we're talking about totally different standards of judgment. Now, knowing about the date of our death is not good. Okay. When somebody's told that you're going to die after 2 years or something like that, the life is not happy anymore. The person could end up being miserable. The person may not be able to enjoy life, and you're always worried about counting downwards. I'm going to die. The only ones that knew when they are going to die, the only one that I know of is Prophet Adam, our great-grandfather Adam. He is, alayhi salam, he was the one who knew that he's going to live 1,000 years. And at the end of his, during when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Prophet Adam, showed Prophet Adam his progeny. So when he saw him, his children, he saw a very special man, which was Prophet Dawood. So he said, he admired him, and he said, Ya Allah, who is this man? He said, this is your son, Dawood, David in English, Dawood in Arabic. And so he said, Ya Allah, how long is he going to live? He said, 60 years. So he said, Ya Allah, can I give him 40 years again, more from my life, so that he lives 100 years? So Allah said, it's okay. Allah said, it's okay, fine. So now at the age of 960, the angel of death, usually the angel of death will ask permission before taking the life of a prophet or a messenger. Angel of death is polite with them. He doesn't attack them and grab the soul like he does with everyone else. He just seeks permission first. So when the angel of death comes seeking permission to take his soul out, Adam said, wait, that's at the age 960. He said, wait, I'm supposed to live 1,000 years. He said, yeah, but you remember you donated 40 years or 60 years, right? Yeah, 60 years to your son. Hold on. No, 40 years. You donated 40 years to your son, Dawood. He said, no, I take them back. And then he took them back to live 40 more years. But at the end, you live 1,000 years, or you live 10,000 years, or you live 1,000,000,000 years. They will come to an end. There will always be an end. And we will always be judged. It's just like Allah saying, that you live, each one of them wishes to live 1,000 years, and this is not going to save that person from the punishment of hell. Yeah. If somebody, there is a difference between to know or to believe. If somebody gives you a wine and he says, okay, this room has wine, you can wine and have fun for one day, but for sure the next day you will be going to this furnace. So we have two rooms. One has wine and fun, and the other one has a furnace, burning furnace. And then you're being told, if you spend one day in this place here, wining and dining and having fun, haram fun, of course, not halal, having haram fun, the next day you'll go to the furnace. If that person is told so, then this person will not go to this room where the fun, where the haram fun is. Why? Because he knows, not believe, no, he knows, he can see it right there. Next day, he's going to go there in this furnace. So no. Okay, so that's to know. But to believe is that you believe they're going to go to the furnace in the day of judgment. In the hereafter. So that furnace, which is the hellfire, which is in the day of judgment, is not visible for us. So that has to do with to believe, not to know. And we cannot be tested if we know. Okay? We cannot be tested. If you see Allah, hellfire and Jannah, then you know. You would be compelled to obey. You would be compelled to have faith, not have faith. We'll be compelled to, because there's faith and belief will not apply then. These two words will not apply. Why? Because everything is there. You're talking about things that are existing already, that physically you can see them physically with your five senses. You can see the fire into the furnace. You can hear the furnace. You can smell the smoke. You can feel the heat. You know that you're going to be going there in this furnace the next day. Nobody would ever disobey Allah and go to the haram room with wine and dine and have haram fun if he knows or she knows that the next day is going to be in the other room. There's no way. There's no way anybody would do this to himself or to herself. So we will not be free to choose. We would be compelled. We would be compelled by the visible threats and the glory of Allah and fear of Allah. We would not have any kind of free will. We will not be tested at all. And we will not have a free will. In order for us to have a free will, there has to be a room for us to be able to make wrong choices and then repent and then try again and fail and try again and fail, and hopefully with time you will be improving. In order for us to have the freedom to choose between right and wrong, or to choose to make choices, you must, the day of judgment, the hellfire, the Jannah, the miracles, hearing the screams of the people in the graves, being punched in the graves. These have to not exist. They cannot be physically visible to us. We can't be seeing these things and hearing these things and at the same time expected to have a room to be able to make free choices, okay, or to make our own choices. There is no way we become free when we can see Allah, when we can hear the screams of the people, when we can see the jinn, the devils, the hellfire, and the Jannah. There is no way. There is absolutely no way that we have a free will. And we will not be tested. And the purpose of this whole creation is not going to be valid. Because if we're not being tested, then the whole value of the creation that which is knowing Allah and worshiping Allah is not going to happen. It's going to be a totally different form of existence and has totally different rules, okay, if this is the case. But this is not why we created. We created to be tested, because when we are tested, we're worshiping Allah. Because when we would be tested to pray or not to pray, we're worshiping Allah by praying. Fast or not to fast, worship Allah by fasting. Honesty, dishonesty, all of these things. When we're tested by these things, and we want to be free, and Allah wants us to be free to make our own choices, then this whole world of the unseen have to stay unseen, have to be unseen, or we would not dare to disobey Allah at all. Who's crazy enough to disobey Allah when he can see Allah face to face? Would the glory of Allah allow this person? The person would be compelled. It's going to be a compelling force that would prevent us from making any free choices. We will not, we'll just be scared and praying all the time. Okay. The angels fear Allah to a level, unbelievable level. Why? Because they are so close to Allah. And so they are so scared of him, and not so scared, but they are so obedient to him. And they absolutely have no choice. Absolutely no choice at all. They just follow the commands and the orders. And one ayah of the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to Prophet, to Angel Jibreel. He told him, why don't you come more often so that we can talk, you know, we can chat and talk. So Angel Jibreel, as Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. That we don't descend without permission of your Lord, without Allah sending us. We can't just come in here and go like that. When Allah wants us to go, we go. When Allah wants us to come, we come. So we are not free to, like, on our own do things like that, or come on our own. I can't come on my own and just spend time chatting with you. The one who used to chat with Allah for a long time, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he used to speak to Allah and have long conversations and long talks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the only human being that was given that gift, talking to Allah. So he would talk with Allah, he would chat with Allah, he would, and that made him have a desire to see him. He said, okay, I can hear him now. Can I see him? And he got this incident where the mountain crumbled. When Allah showed himself to the mountain crumbled. And Prophet Musa was shocked and he passed out. When he gained consciousness, he realized what he did. And then Allah told him, I have favored you with my message, making you a messenger and making you able to talk to me that no one ever, and the entire children of Adam, no one ever had this except you. Okay? So take whatever I've given you and be thankful. Don't ask for more. And Allah, you know, it's an ignorant request, sort of, to ask to see Allah. And he should have known better than that. But because he used to talk to Allah a lot, he thought that maybe I can see him as well. But Allah light, Allah has to cover himself with a veil of light. This veil of light will block his light from reaching to his creation. Because if Allah were left that veil, the entire creation, the entire existence will burn, will completely burn. So Allah has to cover himself with this veil of light to block his lights. So that veil of light, is Allah designed it so that to block his light so that it's possible for the creations to exist. Otherwise, it's impossible for the creation to exist. So this is why when the Prophet went up Mi'raj and met with Allah, he was like, he was asking, he said, I saw light everywhere. How can I see him? I've seen light from all directions. It's just like being in an ocean of light. That's what he saw. And he said, how can I see him if this is the case? And no one get to see, there is nothing called someone can see the whole Allah. We can only see a face of Allah. I can only see a face of Allah, one of the faces of Allah, or perhaps more than one face from Allah. But we cannot see the whole Allah. Even the whole Allah is like the expression that is not applicable to Allah, because Allah's infinity. So there is nothing called whole Allah, because He's infinity. He has no boundaries, He has no limits. He's beyond what we think. Okay. So the fact that we're able to, the fact that someone might think that he or she would be able to obey Allah in His presence, would Allah allow that? Would Allah allow anybody to present to disobey Him when that person can see Allah eye to eye? I mean, assuming that the first person is able to do it, when see Allah eye to eye, is able to disobey Him, I doubt it. But let's say if he's able to, would Allah allow such a thing to happen? No. So, alhamdulillah, we're happy that we're not seeing miracles, and what we have is enough. And may Allah forgive our mistakes. Yeah, alhamdulillah, seeing miracles or seeing angels or seeing Jannah or seeing hell or seeing Allah is way beyond our ability to handle. Alhamdulillah. Try to the Quran. Alhamdulillah, the teachings of the prophets are enough. And Allah forgive when we do right, we make mistakes, we ask for forgiveness and we repent, and we make mistakes and we repent. But for the people who got to see that dining table, once they started storing, Allah stopped the dining table from coming, and the ones who stored were doomed to millenniums and millenniums of hellfire, endless time of hellfire, because in the worst place of hellfire, because they have seen the miracle and they dared to disobey Allah and still store food from it. They were treated very harshly by Allah. Seventh place in hellfire, designated for the pharaohs and for the tyrants and for the evil lords and for the hypocrites that will destroy Islam or destroy the religion of Allah from inside. The people of the dining table were doomed there. The ones who stored food were doomed there just because they asked for a dining table and they could not live up to the level of standard imposed on the people who got to see miracles. So, if you have